Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
There's a traffic jam in the jungle, the jungle, a traffic jam.
Hi, this is Gunnar Madsen. Not even an elephant traffic jam is going to prevent me from listening to Tell Us a Tale with Peter Jones.
They don't budge, they don't move, they don't budge, they don't move, they don't budge, they don't move, and they don't get anywhere.
Listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to share a couple of stories about, what's a nice way to put this, goofballs? Some might even say idiots, but ones who honestly don't realize that what they're doing makes no sense. We're going to start with an Aesop's fable called The Miller, His Son, and Their Donkey.
One day, a miller set off for the market riding his donkey. His son came walking along behind him. Soon they met a musician. What an unkind father you are. How can you make the poor boy walk while you ride? You're bigger and stronger than he is. So the miller and his son changed places. And after a while, they met a farm worker eating his lunch.
You lazy boy. Fancy you riding and making your poor old father walk like this. I'm ashamed of you. You've got younger legs.
So the miller climbed onto the donkey's back, and the father and son both rode for a mile or so. Then they met an old man who shouted at them.
How can you be so cruel to that donkey? Two people on one poor weak animal. Get down at once, or I'll knock you down with my stick, I will.
So they both got down, and all three walked for a stretch, with the father on the right, the son on the left, and the donkey in the middle. Then they met a traveler.
Ha!
what funny fellows you are! Why should all three of you walk when one of you could ride?"
So the miller and his son tied the donkey's legs together and carried him between them, slung from a strong branch. But that was so uncomfortable for the donkey that he wrenched himself free and kicked both the miller and his son so hard that the son flew right up in the air and came down in a mud pit, and the father landed face down in a heap of straw. Happy at last, the donkey kicked up its heels and trotted away.
My uncle had an old gray mule. His name was Simon Slick. About anything I ever did see was how that mule could kick. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say. Keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. To feed that mule one day, he met me with a smile. He backed one ear, winked one eye, and kicked me half a mile. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say. Keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. Now this mule was a big one. He weighed 10,000 pounds. Every tooth he had in his head was 18 inches round. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say. Keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. I took him to the blacksmith shop to get his mouth made small. He opened his mouth, took a yawn, swallowed blacksmith shop and all. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say. Keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. Keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay.
Ah, Pete Seeger's album, Birds, Beast, Bugs, and Fishes, Little and Big, that was the mule. Well, seeing as we just heard that story all about the miller and his son and their donkey, I thought we'd listen to a tune involving a miller off Jerry Garcia and David Grisman's album, Not for Kids Only, called The Miller's Will.
Lived all alone, had three sons all fully grown. When the time came to make out his will, all he had left was a little grist mill. Singing fall dig a die, oh fall dig a day. He called to him his eldest son, said, "Son, old son, my race is run. If I'm miller of you make, pray tell me what toll you take." Singing fall diggy die, oh fall diggy day. "Father, oh father, my name's Bill. Out of each bushel I take a gill. You fool," the old man cried, "on such a little you'll never get a rise." Singing fall diggy die, oh fall diggy day. But he called to him his second son, said, "Son, oh son, my race is run. If I'm miller of you make, pray tell me what toll you take." Singing foul diggy die, oh foul diggy day. "Father, oh father, my name is Ralph. Out of each bushel I take half. Not enough, not enough," the old man said, "such a little you'll never get ahead." Singing fall diggy die, oh fall diggy day. But he called to him his youngest son, said, "Son, oh son, my race is run. If I'm miller of you make, pray tell me what toll you take." Singing fall diggy die, oh fall diggy day. "Father, oh father, my name is Paul. Out of each bushel I take all. Hallelujah," the old man cried, Then he turned up his toes and he died. Singing fall diggity die, oh fall diggity. Grave, some do not think his soul was saved. Where he went, I could not say, but I'd rather believe he went the other way. Singing fall digga die, oh fall digga day. Singing fall digga die, oh fall digga day.
Hi, this is John Sheska, both cowboy and octopus. Always make it a point to listen to Tell Us a Tale.
Goofballs, we're going to tell you a legend of Helm called Feathers, adapted by Ruth Gordon, and that's published by Macmillan.
Who has not heard of the little town of Helm and its wise men? Oh, nobody. Okay. Well, how did Helm come to be filled with such men? Men who pondered each question put to them a day and a night and a day, and then another day and night.
What?
Well, on the sixth and a half day after the Lord separated dark from light and placed stars in the heavens, created oceans teeming with fish, a world full of birds and beasts, it was time to people the earth. On that day, a winged messenger flew east, west, north, south, sharing out wisdom and folly everywhere. And in the messenger's left hand was a bag filled with wisdom. From the right hand hung a heavy sack filled with foolishness.
Oh, so much foolishness I've never seen.
The winged being soared over land and sea, scattering equal portions of each.
A little bit there. Little wisdom here, little wisdom, and some foolish over there, too. Oh, I'm so good at this.
Well, finally, after the seventh day, the messenger arrived at the little valley where one day the town of Helm would stand. Hidden in the shadow of a tall hill, Helm lies a little east of west, a little west of east, beyond the beyond and beyond the beyond.
What? Do you want to say that again?
Sure. Beyond the beyond and beyond the beyond.
Okay, whatever she said.
The messenger approached the steep hill. For the smallest moment, he looked away and stubbed a toe.
Oh, my toe, not again.
The bag of foolishness tumbled from his hand.
Oh, no.
Foolishness scattered all over the valley. Well, folly grew into the ground, flew in the air, and rippled in the water. Folly, folly everywhere.
And not a bit to eat. Oh, I tell you.
Oh, you're very funny. And from that day to this, the little town of Chelm has been famous for those wise men filled with foolishness. Well, years and centuries flew by. Generations of sons and daughters became mothers and fathers, grandparents and great-great-grandparents, and Chelm grew and grew. Where once only a single muddy path ran between a few small poor huts, now there were many muddy streets with many small rickety huts. And in place of a small scattering of raggedy wooden buildings, there was a large mass of poor wooden buildings. And the small scattering of raggedy poor people swelled to a large population of raggedy poor people. Chelm had become a modern town famous for its wise men. Well, a frightful event occurred in Chelm one night. The town watchman saw terrible flames and discovered that the bathhouse was burning. He knew he must alert the townspeople and summon the fire brigade, but it was night, and being a kind and considerate man, he also knew how hard Helmites worked and how much they needed their rest. Well, quietly, on tiptoe, he slipped through the muddy streets, whispering,
"The bathhouse is burning. Oi, the bathhouse is burning."
And quieter still,
"Help, help."
Well, Chelm slept and dreamed. The fire brigade napped and dreamed brave dreams. The wise men rested thoughtfully and dreamed wise dreams. And the watchman, he watched.
I wish I ate some nice marshmallows.
Well, by the time the Chelmites awoke the next morning, the bathhouse had burned to the ground. Only ashes remained where that very important little building had once stood.
How important.
The villagers were wise enough to praise the watchman's diligence in watching the flames. He was, after all, a watchman. Well, the wise men of Chelm honored and praised him, too. And straight away, he was made the chief of police.
I was just doing my job.
Now, the good people of Chelm faced an uncomfortable problem. What were they to do without a bathhouse?
We could maybe manage for a few days, but after that, well, nobody could bathe. I don't know what we're going to do.
Chelmites walked around itching and scratching and scratching and itching. And in school, children could not sit still. Meals could not be cooked. Between pouring the water into the pot and taking it to the stove, there was so much scratching that water shook from the pots. Well, the cooking fires, they were drenched and extinguished. And without a bath, well, what do you think they couldn't have? Well, they couldn't have weddings. And without weddings, unhappy Chelm. Who can imagine brides and grooms scratching and itching?
I can't say I do. I gotta scratch a little bit more.
Oh.
I don't know what to do. I'm sorry, I can't marry you, but I scratch all day. I can't say I do. I gotta scratch instead.
Awful day. Itchy fate.
Yeah.
Well, as Chelmites always did when faced with a problem, they called on their wise men. Elders of Chelm, elders of Chelm, we need you.
What shall we do about the bathhouse?
Without our bathhouse, we cannot go on.
What will become of us?
Yeah, what will become of us?
Hey, you gotta tell us.
So they called a meeting, and they gathered together, and they pondered with their heads in their hands, and their hands holding their mighty heads that were filled with wisdom.
How can we, a poor little town filled with poor and itchy people, build our new bathhouse?
Where will we find the gold that we need?
Oh, that is a question we must determine soon.
So will you think for a day and a night and a day?
I think I'll do this.
That's how the story goes. So the wise men sat for a day and a night and a day with their heads in their hands, and their brows were furrowed in deep, deep thought. And then they thought for another day and another night. And at last, because they had thought so long and for so well and so wisely, they found an answer.
I've got it.
What? What will you do?
Oh, we're going to send the Chelmites out to the four corners of the world and ask the good people everywhere for some money to build a new bathhouse. Who's not itched and scratched?
Who could refuse such a plea from a fellow human being? This I want to know.
Brilliant! So the very next day, the Helm's bravest citizens set out on their mission of mercy.
Hey, maybe we can find a bathroom around the road. I stink.
They traveled here and they traveled there, and the roads were very dangerous. The ships were unsafe. Robbers, brigands, pirates, and pickpockets were everywhere. They had to be very careful.
Get your hand out of my pocket.
You watch what you say. From town to town, the Helmites roamed. Every time they arrived in a new place, they would first go to the town square and cry out,
Fellow men and women, we the citizens of faraway Helm call for help. Our bathhouse is burned down. What can we do when we itch and scratch? Will you help our poor little town
for a new place to bathe? Oh, you gotta get this right. We've been going to town and town. You're not saying it right.
Well, do you want to try it again? Maybe they didn't hear me.
I think they understood it.
Okay, we'll move on.
Yeah.
Members of the brave band of travelers scattered among the townspeople to gather the small gifts of money they gave. And finally, they collected enough pennies and half pennies and quarter pennies and even smaller coins to build a new, finer, better, larger bathhouse for Helm.
Oh, so much money we got.
And as the Helmites set out on their homeward journey, they were beset by more terrifying thoughts.
They're robbers. They're out on the muddy roads.
And they're in the thorny bushes beside the muddy roads.
Oh, the coins we got. They could be stolen by these evildoers that we've been hearing so much about, but we haven't seen any of them.
Helm would be no richer than it had been before.
We might get killed, and that's a frightening thought, mold in my itching and scratching, because if I'm dead, I'm not going to itch or scratch anymore, am I?
I don't know. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
But what shall we do?
How can we carry our coins and be safe?
If only the wise men of Helm were here to help us.
What would our wise men do?
Huh.
Aye.
But every Helmite knew how to think for a night and a day and a day and a night. Imitating the wise men, they sat and thought.
Okay, they could do this.
And they thought, and they thought with their heads in their hands and their hands cradling heads. And then they talked it over. It went something like this.
It's dangerous to carry money.
Why not trade the coins for gold?
Nah, the gold, it's too heavy.
And tempting to thieves. Their eyes open.
Up. But they think of that gold. They can say that
you to read my mind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Well.
In fact, when they smell gold, too.
What about jewels?
Nah. We couldn't hide those in our cloaks because robbers would steal those, too.
You're right, you're right. Well, what does everybody need and want?
What can we sell when we return to Helm? Something that's safe and easy to carry. Let's think about it now. What does everybody need?
Oy,
that's a question. Besides a bath, I think you. Yeah.
Well, they sat beside a dusty road, posting a guard to watch for those who might rob them.
Why me?
They thought, brows furrowed, heads in hands, lips pressed together. They thought, and they thought, and they thought. And, well, thinking is hard work for many people, but not for the citizens of Helm.
Aha, I got it. Feathers.
Of course! Feathers!
Feathers.
Feathers.
Everybody needs feathers.
For pillows.
Quilts.
Winter clothes.
And even mattresses.
The very thing.
Oh, that's it.
Well, a feather merchant gladly traded many bags of feathers for the Helmites' heavy, heavy bags of pennies, half pennies, quarter pennies, and even smaller coins.
Take as many bags as you want, you silly. I mean, wise Helmites.
We're glad that you notice how wise we are. We thought a lot.
But wait. Suppose we are robbed of our valuable feathers. Helm will still be no better off.
And if we are killed by feather thieves, we will be no better off either.
Yeah, I don't want to get killed over feathers.
Huh.
Well, again and again, they thought for a day and a night and a night and a day. And because many wise people often have the same thought, a sparkling, newly minted, shining idea came to them.
Feathers are light.
Feathers float.
Who has not seen feathers flying when the pillows are puffed and the feather beds are shaken?
Let us fly them to Helm on the wind.
Now, that's an idea I like.
These fine, wise, and brave citizens of Helm went to the edge of the village, so far away from home. They bent double under the bags and bags of the heavy, heavy feathers.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What?
What weighs more, a ton of feathers or a ton of bricks?
I really do know the answer. You want me to tell you?
No, because you're too wise to notice.
Well, the Chalmites were very wise people.
Yeah, well, we'll think about it.
Well, they watched and they waited for a wind going in the direction of their own beloved town. They waited and they waited, and at last, a Chalm-bound breeze wafted by, and each Chalmite opened his sacks and shook the feathers into the sky.
Hey,
they watched the snowy fluff fly away on the wind going homeward. How joyous the other Chalmites would be when this fortune dropped from the sky.
We gotta follow.
They followed the downy feathers until they disappeared among the clouds.
We must arrive in Chalm before our treasures.
Before the treasures fall from the sky.
Let's run.
Run
as fast as the birds fly.
And warn our fellow citizens to gather all the feathers, our new fortune.
Oh, Helm's gonna be so happy with us. All those feathers are gonna show up soon, I know.
Well, they ran over hill and dale, valley and mountain, through small villages and large towns. They waded through streams and fought their way through dark forests and slimy swamps. Day and night, they puffed along the roads to Chalm, racing the winds to arrive before the feathers. This
We're
is very
there.
Important.
We're almost there.
All Chalmites must be warned that the feathers would soon fall from the sky. Every man, woman, and child must gather the feathers into sacks and pots and wash tubs. And at last, after many days, the exhausted travelers arrived in their beloved Chalm.
Good people of Chalm, come and catch our fortune as it flies into our arms.
Every Chalmite, large and small, old and young, praised the travelers to the skies for their wisdom. And they all began to plan for the new bathhouse.
Oh, I get to go first.
No, I do.
And there on the high hill, all of Chalm stood for a day and a night, and a night and a day.
They're coming.
With their eyes raised to the clouds, searching for the Chalm-bound feathers.
I think I see something. Oh, no, that was something from a bird. Wrong kind of thing. Oh.
You need glasses. Yeah. And even today, in that little town known for its wisdom and folly, the Chalmites, they wait. With their eyes raised to the sky.
I think I see something. Nope, that wasn't that either.
They search for the feathers they will sell to make the town's fortune. Alas, they also itch and scratch, but they know that soon a wind will arrive carrying their feathers, and when it does, they will build a newer, better bathhouse.
Get the rubber ducky out.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. About a Saturday night, hey! Rubbed up, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was alright. Well, I stepped out the tub, put my feet on the floor, I wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door, and in a splish splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on? There was a splishing and a splash, reeling with the feeling. I saw the whole gang dancing on my living room rug. Yeah, flip-flop, they was doing the bop. All the teens had the dancing bug. There was a lollipop with a Peggy Sue. Good to golly, Miss Molly was a even there too. A willa splish splash, I forgot about the bath. I went and put my dancing shoes on. Yeah, I was a rolling and a strolling, feeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, splishing and a splash. Yeah, I was a moving and a grooving. Woo! We was a reeling with the
great Bobby Darin. That was Splish Splash. And that's going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale.